My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
This song choice is going to be so embarrassing. Here we go.
I think I know what it is.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, bad bitches have bad days too. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, bounce back how a bad bitch always do. All I really want to hear is it's a mini-sode. Bounce back because a bad bitch has to upload. All I really want to hear is it's a mini-sode. Bounce back because a bad bitch has to upload. Megan Thee Stallion, watch
back
your back.
Bounce back because a bad bitch has to upload.
A bad bitch has to upload. But that, honestly, I chose this song because for another podcast, Riley recommended it. But it hits in a major way today where you are incredibly sick and I am leaving the country in like 48 hours.
Literally.
And yet we were like, we have to get this recorded still. A bad bitch has to upload.
Oh my God.
Whoa. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Ian Allred. I'm a bad bitch and therefore I have to upload. And I'm also Mini Gleek.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, everyone? My name is Lena and I upload. Therefore, I am a bad bitch. It's kind of like a different but the same similar, you know, scenario. And I'm also Mini Gleek.
This is Minisode 111.
Oh, that's my God. Right. Angel numbers.
Oh, it is angel numbers. 111. Mm-hmm. Your spot. This is the first time we can do angel numbers. Because we're finally in triple digits. Crazy. Check back in 111 more minisodes.
Right.
But your Spotify did not glitch last week. There was no minisode. We apologize. Yeah. We simply just did not get thoughts about the episode transitioning.
Yeah.
So we've combined some of the stuff we got last week. We've combined into this week's minisode. But it was like we either do a minisode that's like ten minutes long. Or we just combine those emails into this week and do a full one.
You ready to get into it?
Yes.
Hell yeah. Let's kick things off with Friendly Podcast Lucy.
Hello, my loves. My name is Lucy, she, her, bisexual, in the middle of a midlife crisis. And I'm 21 from Adelaide, Australia. Lucy, not you calling it a midlife crisis.
I know, literally.
21 years old.
International listeners.
I just finished your episode on transitioning and have thoughts on Glee removing all tension by having Will return to William McKinley High School. I think that the plot itself almost worked. If Will tried to leave, but his contract stopped him, and then he secretly was helping Rachel and Kurt, which would explain his presence in certain scenes. I also think it would have been so funny for the Carmel students to find out and start acting insane, like egging his car, sending his number to dodgy businesses, filming all of his cringy pep talks on YouTube, etc. 2. How the hell were bloopers never released for Glee? It's a comedy show. It's so weird. I always watch bloopers for comedy shows, and there are none for 120-something episodes. I need to know how they got through the gay purse scene, anything Sue said, and so on. Ah, that's it. Bye, Lucy. Lucy, this idea for transitioning, I think, works so well. I just, as we said in the minisode, I think it dismisses so much dramatic tension in the plot line to have Will just up and leave Vocal Adrenaline halfway through the season, but then also it makes sense for his character that he would leave.
Yeah,
this little loophole you put up, that would be so exciting, especially if it's like, if Will gets fired from Carmel, he will not be able to get hired back at McKinley, you know, like he'll be so disgraced, so he has to try just enough with Carmel that the, you know, superintendent can't tell that he's purposely throwing the competition, but then he's trying to do a bad enough job that New Directions would still win, and that would be very exciting.
That would be really exciting.
And the kids are constantly trying to get proof that he's throwing the competition, so he has to, like, be good enough that they can't get proof on him, and come on.
I love that. That'd be fun. Also, where are the bloopers? I haven't even thought about this in a minute, but I've thought this before. Like, why isn't there bloopers?
I like honestly wonder if everyone was just so tired that like there are just aren't a lot of bloopers.
Yeah,
it was just kind of like, because when you hear people talk about the show, like when you listen to Jenna and Kevin's podcast, they have like very fond memories of being on the show. One thing that comes up a lot though is like, we were so tired.
Yeah.
So I wonder just like when you are very tired, you either are slap happy and you will get an abundance of bloopers, or you're like, I'm just here to hit my mark, say my line, and go home.
Yeah, totally. I don't know, maybe. But also, what happened to bloopers? Just like as a society.
They used to be such a thing.
I know. I went and saw a movie like last year with bloopers in it, and I said, oh my God, it's the renaissance of bloopers. And I still haven't seen some. Oh my gosh. Let's bring it back.
We as a society need bloopers. It will heal the world.
I think so.
That's what we're missing.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Do you think Oppenheimer's going to have some bloopers at the end? God, I hope so. Christopher Nolan, help us.
I really hope the Barbie movie never releases bloopers, and I hope Oppenheimer releases like a 45-minute blooper reel.
Yeah, totally. Oh my God, that'd be so funny. It's just like Josh Peck being like,
just pranking everyone on set.
Oh my God, classic Josh. Holy moly. Lucy, thank you so much for your thoughts. Up next, we've got a message from our weird aunt Rachel.
Hi, Lena and Ian. It feels like the wedding episode is the end of the series and the rest is just epilogue. It really started feeling that way in transitioning, with all the callbacks to the very beginning, the muffler dragging on the ground, Will rapping, the mention of those early iconic Clayne moments in that conversation outside of the party, all the flashbacks while Rachel's bulletin board is being taken apart, Rachel being egged, even just Coach Beast's goofy sayings that you really haven't heard much of since season two. And then the wedding episode has such a happily ever after feeling, with the two remaining power couples getting married and Rachel getting the nod from Carol to move on with her life. Even the way Tina, Mike, and Artie are managed, it's all very goodbye-ish. I know some more storylines happen, but it's harder to keep track of McKinley's specific stories now that the show has spent a couple seasons separating itself from the school. And while I did notice myself starting to care about the newbies, there's just not enough time left for me to get invested in their stories. I would have liked them to drag that closure out, especially Clayne's. It is believable to me that Brittana would have a short engagement. They are both single-minded and very focused on the end result of being married. The Clayne of it all is harder to swallow. Not that they couldn't be pressured into doing it. After all, Kurt was easily pressured into saying yes to the first engagement. But that we are supposed to be on board with yet another impulsive move from a couple that has barely passed their toxic troubles. To be fair, my first reaction wasn't too different from 18-year-old Lena's. But upon reflection and rewatch, here's what I think should have happened. Clayne should have been inspired by the wedding, but also a little scared about their own future. Then, in the next episode, they could have let us see them process their fears and could show us how they are going to make it work this time. Namely, we should see them going to couples therapy. Then, when the, semi-spoiler, really big thing happens with the Warblers in the episode after that, they could suddenly feel an urgency to finalize their partnership, and there could be some great parallels happening there. Really, there was plenty they could have taken out of the show to make room for that, the whole child star plotline. Funny thing, this episode is actually the reason why I became obsessed with Glee. When I started watching in 2021, I didn't know the actors, I didn't know the show had released music, and I was generally clueless about the whole Glee phenomenon. But when Sue walked up to Blaine and Kurt and called Blaine Tiny Sal Mineo, I started down the rabbit trail. You see, Sal Mineo was my dad's first cousin. He died before I could meet him, but he still holds a place of pride in my family, and I had seen enough family pictures to know that he was not a tall man. So not only did a light bulb go on in my head as to why I felt a kinship with Blaine, he does remind me of my family, I also had to confirm my suspicions that Tiny Sal Mineo was a misnomer. And it was, since Google confirmed that Darren Criss is taller than Sal was. And once I started Googling, the rabbit trail never ended. And my simple search led to the discovery of Darren's music, which led to the discovery of the entire Glee discography, and then to the discovery that people had talked about Glee a lot in the past, and were still talking about it online and in podcasts, which led me to you. And thus my obsession was born. So I guess for me, the wedding episode was both an end and a beginning. Side note, I love hearing about your encounters with celebrities. I met Darren Criss last year, and he was very kind. I had actually just met Ian the night before, and if I had had my wits about me, I would have dropped your names. As it was, I was starstruck and my wits were elsewhere. And since then, I've spent much time kicking myself for not telling him about you, and also for saying what I did end up saying. So it really warmed my heart to hear about Lena being so starstruck by the Survivor contestants when you met them. You see, you guys are stars to me, so it just proves that stars, they're just like us. Thanks so much for slowing down the podcast for me. I continue to live in denial that it will be ending soon, so this really helps. Weird Aunt Rachel.
What's ending soon? I don't know.
You're so welcome. Nothing is ending. Everything is going on in perpetuity. Mm-hmm. Glee, thankfully, is still releasing episodes, so we still have plenty of ground to cover.
Yes, absolutely.
So absolutely no worries on that front.
Yeah,
We'll be here until 2037.
Yeah, as long as they're being Glee episodes, we're just going to talk about them. So
yeah. And they passed a law recently that they're not allowed to stop making Glee episodes.
Yeah.
So I guess we're fine.
Yeah.
I guess we're fine. The thought to me of someone watching 115 episodes of Glee and being like, I like it enough. And then on the 116th episode, a wedding is when they become obsessed with it. That is such a unique experience. That is crazy to me. You watched Bohemian Rhapsody. You watched Prom Queen. You watched Someone Like You, Rumor Has It. And you said, this is fun enough. You heard Salminio and you said, I'm in for the rest of my life.
Yeah, seriously. I have to be honest. That's so me-coded. There are so many things I do like so often that I'm like, oh, wait, I love this. How long have I been doing this and I haven't even loved this yet? Maybe it wasn't that, but maybe this is the episode that Rachel saw. Like, A Wedding was just a random episode. Like, kind of like how I've seen The Office, like a few episodes mm-hmm. here and there, and then saw one and it was like, oh, wait, okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Who knows? The vibe more that it was like
watching 116 episodes. Yeah, it was episodes. Like, yeah.
Rachel, feel free to weigh in.
Oh, Rachel, we need to know.
As we discuss. But I got the vibe that it was like, this is the show that I have on in the background. Like, this is the show that I'm just watching right now.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, she heard the Salminio phrase. She heard the Salminio name drop, which led her to look up Darren Criss. And then she found the online community of Glee. And reading the thoughts of the online community is what awakened a deeper fascination. Mm. Which that does check out. A lot of people spend a lot of time talking about this show, ourselves included.
Word.
I love, Rachel, this proposal of how this should have planned out. I made it no secret that I don't like that Clayne gets married in that episode. And I think what you say about it just inspiring Clayne to be like, oh, we should get back together and like work on our problems so that we could have this one day. And then the timeline of it getting to that point.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see that. Alas.
I agree. I think even the more time that passes, I'm like, that would have been like the more healthy like thing to put on this TV show. And like, you know, maybe even the better watch of this TV show. It just felt like they were like, how do we wrap up these really fast, you know?
Yeah. And it also, I agree with what you said, Rachel. One of the reasons that we decided to start our hiatus after the episode of Wedding is because we were like, this feels like a good ending spot before we're like, we come back. Like you said, it does kind of feel like a finale. Yeah. And then when the next episode picks up, you're like, oh, we're still talking about this?
Yeah, seriously. And like, you know, the next episode after a wedding is like mostly the newbies. You know, it is like a new thing.
Yeah, it's like a soft start to a new TV show that's going to last exactly four episodes,
literally.
Yeah. Well, Weird Aunt Rachel, always great to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for this message.
Google's actually wrong. Darren Criss is 5'4", so he is shorter than Salminio. So Sylvester is always correct. Google is always incorrect. Yeah. I hate to tell you. And thanks for writing in.
Absolutely. Up next, we've got a message from friend of the podcast, Katie.
A wedding. What's a wedding? It's a prehistoric ritual. Hey, Ian and LPC. My thoughts on this episode are kind of all over the place, so I'm just going to jump right into it. I agree with Ian that the double wedding was a mistake, and I have read many a fan fiction on how people would have gotten them married, but none of them ever felt right. It wasn't until I was listening to your episode that I came up with the perfect idea. I think this should have been just the Britannia wedding, but instead of scheming to get Clayne married, They did it to get Clayne to walk Brittana down the aisle. What Brittany said was true. Clayne was the only gay couple that they had to look up to in high school. She and Santana watched Kurt get bullied and be so lonely. Yet even though they lived in a small town in Ohio, he still found love with Blaine. Brittana would definitely use them as inspiration and hope for their own future. It would be understandable if they wanted the boys to walk them down the aisle. Onto the Clayne side, not only is them getting married right after they got together dumb, it shows that there is no growth. Just because both of them said they are seeing therapists doesn't mean they need to go from 0 to 60. I think they should have gotten married in the finale. A very minor spoiler in this next sentence. They could have intercut them getting married with them singing Daydream Believer, which I have always found to be boring, with them singing with the kids, even if it is cute. In season 2, Kurt said that his action figures got married in so many different combos, but I think that he would have a small wedding. Losing his mom at a young age and then losing Finn at such a pivotal time, he would know what's important. Even though Kurt would probably love to get married like Prince William and Catherine, I think he also would do a small wedding with just Bert, Carol, Cooper, and Pam. Ian, good luck on your new adventure. Hope it goes well, even if we have to wait for more episodes. Maybe when you're done with your honeymoon, we'll be able to hear you two on Jenna and Kevin's podcast. Much love, Katie, she, her, from upstate New York, a.k.a. The Farm. Katie, from your mouth to God's ears, literally. I swear.
Literally. That is so funny. You are going on a honeymoon.
Well, we had talked about it in our last episode.
Did we?
That they, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That they're writing Brittana and Clayne off the show for a little bit.
Yeah.
In the same way that we're being written off our podcast. I also did get married and never mentioned it or mentioned dating the guy or getting engaged. Yeah. It's just a huge chunk of my life that I have kept very private. So I am going on absolutely. An actual honeymoon as well.
Whoa, so fun. That's not scary at all. You kept that such a secret from even your friends and family.
Well, it's because he's very, very rich and very, very powerful. Oh. And frankly, it's a...
Yeah.
It's a matter of international security.
Oh, it's like a marriage of convenience thing, right?
No, we're both madly in love with each other.
Oh,
well.
Got it. Of course. Of course. I fully misunderstood.
He's a big gleek.
Aw. I love that. And I also... You know what else I love? This message. I love the idea that, I think this would have been such a cute way to do this. Like, getting them to walk them down the aisle. And, like, I totally agree. I don't know that Clayne would even enjoy a big wedding like this. I think, like, these are two people that have, like, you know, been through a lot with each other and throughout their lives. And, like, maybe that's not their vibe. Maybe they would prefer something a little smaller, you know? And, like, it's just, you know, they weren't even together this morning. So I really like this thought. I think this would be really cute.
Yeah, I'm on board with all these thoughts that we've had sent in. That it's like, this is not Clayne's wedding. This is Clayne's impetus to move forward in their relationship. The focus is still on Brittana. And then Clayne stuff can happen down the line. I'm of the opinion that Clayne does not need to get married on my screen. I know that they will eventually get married.
Yeah.
They have far too many issues to work out for me to want them to get married before the season ends. But if they have to get married on screen, I do like the Daydream Believer finale idea.
I like that too. Well, Katie, thank you so much. Hope the farm is doing well upstate. Up next, we've got a message from the podcast, Lenny.
Hi, this is Lenny from Berlin, all pronouns.
International listener!
For the first time in a long time, I strongly disagree with one of your takes. Specifically the one about Santana's grandma being at the wedding. I will say that I would kick family members out of my wedding for much less, but that's me. Let's look at Santana. She had a beautiful, bittersweet, and true-to-life journey in what the world needs now, where she came to terms with the fact that her abuela does not accept her, and where she finds comfort in her partner and her found family. She also specifically said that she did not want her abuela to attend the wedding because that would mean not marrying Brittany, and she chooses Brittany. So I find her heel turn not only unjustified, but disappointing. In my opinion, abuela should not have been in the episode at all, because I agree that it would be unrealistic for her to become an ally all of a sudden. I think she should have been mentioned one last time to show that, especially when you are queer, people will disappoint you, and not everything wraps up neatly. And while Santana should be sad about that, we get to see her surrounded and supported by loved ones, including her biological mother, by the way. We even see bio family included, and ultimately have a bittersweet but hopeful and joyous send-off. Queer people constantly experience the pressure to put the nuclear/biological family above their own comfort and safety, and found families are such a profound rejection of that pressure in queer history. I hate the message that your bio family is more important than your own needs, and that it is a compromise that Santana's grandma may attend the wedding if she cools her still very much raging homophobia a little. It goes against Santana's arcs in season 3, and it is also a pretty conservative perspective. And that's not even considering all the other queer people at this wedding who, in my experience with boomer relatives, Santana's grandma will most likely bother with homophobic comments since she only agreed to try and accept Santana. That's just me, though. I'm looking forward to the minisode. Love, Lenny. Lenny, I appreciate this email, and I think this is a very important perspective that a lot of people have, and this is why this topic of conversation is so complicated. Mm-hmm. But 100%, 100%, I do think that there is a huge pressure in society to be like, your biological family is the be-all and end-all, and you should always prioritize having them in your life over your own safety and over your own comfort. And there are a lot of people who are in situations where, like, their family is deeply unhealthy and very toxic to them, and they should put up boundaries there, or they should even, like, not have contact with certain family members. But there is this pressure that it's like, no, you have to. They're your family. And Ryan Murphy does have a tendency in most of his media to always show, like, and the family members all reach a compromise and everything's great. And yeah. I don't know Ryan Murphy personally. We've never met. I know that's a shock to everyone. But to hear him interviewed about Bert Hummel, he talks about how Bert is written as how he wishes his relationship with his father had been.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it comes from Ryan Murphy just is... Ryan Murphy is hopeful that the world can change and queer youth can have a better experience than he had growing up.
Yeah.
And so he kind of like lets that hopefulness be showed on screen, which I like and think is important. But as you mentioned, when that's the only thing that's shown, it can sometimes have a reverse effect of adding to that pressure of like, you need to keep everyone in your life, whether or not they've actually come around, whether or not they've actually changed, whether or not they're actually going to make things safe for you. So, like, I don't know. I'm of 1,000 minds about this issue.
Yeah.
Because I 100% see what you're saying, and I think it's true. And I think a lot of people have relationships with their family that it would be better if their family weren't in their life. And I think Santana has a relationship with her grandmother that it honestly might be better if her grandmother wasn't in her life. But also, family is deeply personal, and it's different for every person. And Santana's not a real person, so yeah. It's like, we can't really know what she would want as a real person. But I do also know plenty of people who have family members who are not 100% open-minded and 100% on board with them and 100% great to be around, but that person genuinely is happier to have the family member in their life than they would be without. I have a friend who is like actively living in a city that he hates near his parents who are like, you know, pretty close-minded.
Yeah.
But when he's asked, why don't you just move if you dislike it? He says, I don't know how much longer my parents are going to be around. And I know that if I didn't reconcile our relationship, I would regret it for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So it's just like a hard...
Yeah.
I think family is so complicated that you can't, you know, it's just a case-by-case scenario for every person.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
But I appreciate this perspective, and I do honestly think it could go either way. I think that Santana, who is not a real person, depending on like what she wanted, it could be a good idea to just make the quote compromise and have her abuela there if her abuela is still that important to her and she would regret it.
Yeah.
Or if she does come to the conclusion of, you know what, actually, this is not worth it to me. She has every right to be like, I don't want you at my wedding. And honestly, I don't want a relationship with you at all right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, like, to talk on that a little more, I think it would have been, like, kind of a beautiful thing to see on this TV show is that happening in her still being fulfilled and her abuela not being there. And the rest of her family is, though, you know, and like there's still love out there, even though that this one like bigoted family member wasn't there. You know, I think that would have been really beautiful. I also totally agree. This is like, you know, family in general is so complicated. And I also understand why Ryan Murphy writes these families coming together and being accepting and being loving. Like, I understand why someone would sit down to do that, you know?
Yeah. I agree. I really like this message, Lenny. Thank you for sending it in.
Yeah.
And I do think that it would be a beautiful message to show, like, Santana has a family, which they do, like, mention in Where the World's Need in What the World Needs Now. But I can see how then Abuela totally coming around in this episode might feel like it kind of negates that.
Yeah.
And to kind of hammer home that you have a family and you can find people who love you and care you and accept you for who you are. And if that's not your blood family, you can find that family elsewhere in your life.
Yeah.
So as I said, I'm a million minds about it.
Absolutely. Lenny, I appreciate your perspective and I really am glad that you messaged in.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Up next, we've got a message from a friend of the podcast, Haley.
Hi, friends. Like Ian, I too am a double wedding hater. When the episode first aired, I was a little put off by it. But the older I get and the more I rewatch the episode, the madder I get over the idea of Santana agreeing to a double wedding. My main issue is that Britannia has always felt like they're playing third fiddle to Finchel and Klain. I was in the Glee Tumblr fandom back in the day, and I remember Britannia fans being enraged that Britannia got less screen time than Klain and Finchel, which reflected the overall representation of queer women on TV at the time, which I would argue still exists today, but I digress. I always got the feeling that if Corey/Finn hadn't passed away, we would have gotten a separate wedding for Finchel and one for Klain, and Britannia would not even get engaged. Similarly, if Klain was the main couple getting married, the writers wouldn't even think to let Britannia get married along with them. I was super surprised that Britannia had equal footing with Klain this season. I just wish Britannia had their own wedding and their own time and space away from Klain. Beyond that, the treatment of Brittany and Santana as characters is something to be considered in this plotline. Brittany has faced biphobia multiple times on the show, and Blaine once in Blame It on the Alcohol, though I'm still not sure whether the writers were condemning biphobia or claiming bisexuality isn't real. And Santana has faced a lot of lesbophobia on this show. Finn called Kurt the F-slur in season 1, and it was treated with the gravity it deserved. Finn outed Santana in season 3, and it was a good thing, actually, according to the writers, since we got a whole episode of people singing at Santana, including Finn singing a stripped-down version of Girls Just Want to Have Fun while sitting on a chair, camp counselor style. No one ever apologizes to Santana. Instead, she gets in trouble for rightfully slapping Finn for outing her. Santana spent so much time hating herself for being a lesbian, but she was never ashamed of loving Brittany. She goes from telling Brittany, I'm angry because I have all these feelings for you, that I'm afraid of dealing with because I'm afraid of dealing with the consequences, to Brit is my family now. There's no way on God's green earth that she would ever want to share the spotlight with another couple on her wedding day. Having her agree to a double wedding feels out of character. I love this podcast so much, and I'm so glad you guys are going on hiatus, because that means the show will go on forever, which I want as much as I want Klain out of my Britannia wedding episode. With love and consensual forehead kisses, Haley. P.S. The reason why Quinn wasn't at the wedding is because she slept with Santana, and now that she's come to terms with her lesbianism, she can't face Rachel, the girl she will always be a little bit in love with.
Word. I totally agree. Oh my God, Haley, I love this message. And I absolutely agree. Like, if the roles were reversed, this would not be happening to Clayne at all.
That is truth. Something, right? I had not considered. Me but neither. You are so right. In no universe.
No universe.
Would the writers have the Clayne wedding and be like, oh, but we should throw Brittana in there too.
No way. No way. Whoa. Like, this rocked my world. I hadn't even thought about this. And I totally agree. There's no way this would be happening. And I totally agree. Like, and I think this is just a product of how, like, every show in general, including this show, treats, like, sapphic couples. Like, it just, you know, you just don't have the time for them. It's just so crazy. Oh, my God.
Yeah. That really rocked my world as well.
Yeah.
And it's really, like, the only reason that Brittana has gotten so many plot lines this season is because they wanted to do a wedding episode.
Yeah.
And Brittana was their vehicle to do a wedding episode since they were the only character, the only couple on the show that was still together.
Yeah.
And yet the plot line ends up ultimately being a Clayne plot line because it gets co-opted by Clayne the day of.
Yeah. And they're the bigger part of it.
Wild.
That's wild. Literally. Haley. Enough said, for real. Thank you so much for this message. Up next, we've got a message from friend of the podcast, Kieran.
Dear Leaner and Eener, as I lovingly refer to y'all in my head, I start writing so many emails to you and never press send because I'm major awkward, but trying to get over it. I have too many Glee thoughts to keep to myself as a mixed-race bisexual former emo/theater kid. Let's get into it. First of all, how dare you tell me that this is Brittana's last real episode? I was not ready for the end of my sapphic hero's journey on a random Wednesday morning bus ride, and I baroque. We love a double Blaine and Kurt voices overlapping, gay, 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 gay wedding. But you absolutely could not coerce me into eloping at someone else's wedding with none of my loved ones there to witness. My mom would literally kill me. And especially not to an impulsive serial cheater. But gay little me loves it, babes. I actually live for Bert Hummel officiating the wedding, even if the secret plan involving Kurt wasn't a thing. There's many instances where the writers will introduce a new relationship or information about a character and act like that was the case all along, but we, the audience, are only learning about it now. I don't think it's so strange for Bert to have a special connection to Brittany in particular, as she was technically his son's first and only girlfriend. What a legend. And he's known her, and many of the Glee kids, and been actively involved in their club for a long time. He has even performed with some of them, Brittany included, helped out with the club with needed funds, and gone through the loss of a mutual loved one with all of them. It's possible, just based on the writer's inability to plan ahead, that he and Brittany have kept in touch, and that thought alone makes me weep. But alas, this is all speculation. We have no confirmation, and I hate the show with all my love. Second, after listening to your episode on transitioning, I've decided that Tina is the only inaugural Glee Club member to live year-round at the farm, where she runs activities and cares for all our old favorites we've lost, like a shepherd and her adopted flock, as Tina is the patron glaint of the forgotten, and we love her for that. It's my headcanon that every character goes to live on the farm in harmony, but that all the main crew, like Rachel, Clayne, Brittana, etc., only visit in the summers. I love the idea of everyone getting together at Camp Gleek on the farm for marshmallow roasting and campfire sing-alongs, where Tina ensures equal opportunity for anyone to perform and coordinates fun games and activities all season. Finally, can we all just agree that Tina has the superior and much more palatable soup quote? Hashtag justice for Tina. Thanks for hearing out this long-ass rambling email, and thanks for being a friend. Much loving and sensual forehead kisses for anyone and for you and anyone listening. XOXO, Kieran, 71% Brittany from Vancouver, Canada. Kieran, what do you mean by Tina's soup quote?
Yeah.
Do you know what that is, Lita?
No. I thought you would know.
Tina soup has quote. The superior and much more palatable soup quote?
Soup quote.
I imagine that Will says baby likes his soup, and that's the less palatable quote.
Oh.
When does Tina talk about soup?
I didn't even think about that soup quote.
Does she mention soup in this episode in a wedding? When she's talking to Mike and she says, Mike Chang, will you marry me? Think of all the soup we could eat. It's that. It's when she says that.
Oh my God, that way more palatable.
Mm-hmm. It's when she's talking to Artie and he says, I'm glad we could have our Tuesday luncheons again. And she goes, yeah, man, I ate so much soup in high school. I remember
I'm always eating soup.
She says, if we're both single by the time we're 30, what if we get soup together and then get married?
Oh my God. What?
One of those soup quotes. Soup. One of those soup quotes.
Did she bring Blaine soup when he was sick?
I think so. Before the incident we don't speak of?
Yeah.
Did she bring him soup? Well, she did go full Terry Schuster in that moment.
That's true.
If she did.
Baby likes the soup. Kieran, please let us know. What's the soup quote?
I don't remember it.
I don't remember it enough for it to be palatable.
Oh my gosh. I love your headcanon about Bert and Brittany's relationship.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
Here's what gives me pause. Kurt says that Bert Hummel should officiate their wedding. And Brittany says, I don't know who that is.
I told you, it's a sham. She's pretending.
Which also, friend of the podcast, Hayden pointed out, why does Kurt refer to his dad by his first name? He doesn't say, you know who should officiate your wedding? My dad, Bert. He literally says, well, I know who should officiate your wedding. Bert. Bert Hummel. Kurt, that's your dad.
Yeah.
And not like that's your estranged father. Like, that's your dad you have a very close and personal relationship with. Why are you referring to him as Bert?
Your dad.
That's your dad.
Your dad.
You know who's wrapped around your finger? My finger?
Your dad,
Kurt. That's what Brittany says.
Do you like that, Mr. Dilham?
Do you like that, Mr. Hummel?
Gosh, I love that sketch.
If Brittany is playing the long con and she really wants Bert to officiate, but she has to pretend like she doesn't know who it is, then this headcanon is great. And Bert, he really saw them making out in the basement one time and he said, lifelong friend.
He's a but also, friend. They have done
Bert
a lot
does
of
single
stuff
ladies.
Together. Yeah.
He does single ladies with Brittany and Tina. So like, he would have
he at least
had to
have
contact
their numbers.
Them
yeah.
and meet up with them and rehearse with them. And I imagine Brittany is the one who taught it to him.
Yeah.
Much love to Tina, but Brittany is like the capital D dancer.
Yeah, dancer.
So I'm sure Brittany was the one who took the reins on that. So
yeah.
There is, besides the fact that Brittany doesn't know his name, there is some evidence in favor of them having a relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Well, he's just probably one of those guys that's like, if anyone like genuinely needs anything, like, you know that like your friend's parent who like always offers to like DD for you guys. And it's like,
he's like,
what?
If you guys need a driver, if you need someone to call, if you need someone to officiate your wedding, like I'm here.
Yeah,
don't worry.
I'm here. Don't worry.
When you're in this house, you're my kids.
Yeah.
Who's that wrapped around Brittany's finger? Yeah. Kurt's dad.
Kurt's dad. Kieran, thank you so much for this message. And please let us know what the other soup quote was. We don't know. Really appreciate it. XOXO. Thanks so much. Up next, we've got a message from Aaron.
Hello. My name is Aaron Sheher from Brisbane, Australia, but currently living in London.
International listener.
I was just listening to the latest episode, and right at the end when Ian was talking about his time on the Disney College program, it brought back so many memories for me, as I too did the Disney College program, but from January to June 2018. And hearing you talk about the hot tubs, I just knew it could be no other place than my home, Vista Slay. That program was probably the best, but also the most unhinged time of my life, where you don't know if you are an adult or child, as everything is so conflicting. Getting to be best friends with Chip and Dale, whilst also becoming underage again at 19, coming from a country where 18 is the legal age, and on the flip side, hearing and seeing all the stuff that happens when you put thousands of 18 to 22-year-olds in four complexes unsupervised together. I also remember the buses at the Vista Way bus stop catching fire, and I was working the day Maleficent caught on fire as well.
Oh my God, I've seen those videos.
I love hearing you talk about your time at the program because it's something that connects so many people from all across the world, and I could talk for hours about my time there. And it's nice to hear other people's experiences. Sorry, this had nothing to do with Glee. I just wanted to share. Haha. Cheers, Aaron.
Aaron, Vista Slay.
What are the odds that we may have overlapped because my program ended at the end of the first week of January 2018. So depending on when you started, we might have been working together for like one day. But what are the odds that after my program ended, I went to Magic Kingdom exactly one day that entire spring, and it was the day Maleficent caught on fire. I was there.
You were there? Did you see it?
Yes. It was. So I went back to school. I finished my semester literally the day of my last final. My roommate and I did a cross-country trip to Disney World because he was about to go do the college program.
Right.
And I had a bunch of free tickets from when I worked there that I hadn't used. So we drove across the country, moved him into his apartment, went to the park together, and then he stayed and I flew back. And we went to Magic Kingdom and we were walking through, oh my gosh, the Central Hub. I used to know what everything was called. This is so embarrassing. We were walking by the Walt and Mickey partner statue, and then we saw a huge commotion happening in Liberty Square, and we looked and we saw the big Maleficent float in flames.
Oh my God.
And I just really feel like the universe smiled down on me on that day.
Yeah.
And they said, this has to happen at some point. But because Disney World is so important to you, we're going to make sure it happens while you are there within eyesight. Because it's a memory I treasure forever. Is seeing that.
So scary.
Especially, no one was hurt, everyone. If someone got hurt, it would not be a happy memory. But it was just so insane to see that massive dragon on fire.
Seriously.
Craziness.
I've seen that one and the one like in Fantasmic. Where oh my gosh, that one is actually really, really, really scary. Yeah.
That one is frightening.
Yeah, like upsetting to behold. I was like, ooh, if I was a kid, oh my gosh. So scary.
But wow, Aaron, glad you did the program. You are so right. It is the most like you're a full adult and a child at the same time experience ever. A lot of chaos and Vista Way for life. The absolute tragedy it is to me that Vista Way no longer exists. Vista Way, for those who don't know, for all of you normies who didn't do the Disney College program.
Embarrassing for us.
It's the OG intern housing at Disney World. And they have since built new housing that like every decade they'd add a new complex and it'd be better and better and better. So Vista Way was the cheapest option. It was the oldest option. The apartments had not been renovated since like the 80s.
Yeah.
And it was, there's a lot of memories in those apartments. I'll just put it that way. Yeah. And honestly, they have since closed down Vista Way and they've made like this huge new complex instead, which they probably should have. But it breaks my heart a little bit because I used to sit in Vista Way and I would sit on those nasty couches and I would say back in the 80s, there were 18-year-olds who were working at Disney World who lived in this exact same apartment.
Yeah.
And we're all connected.
Yeah.
And like under your kitchen table, people would have like signed their name and like the year that they went to Disney that's World. Sweet. That's all gone now.
That's sweet. You know, that reminds me of the housing that we used at the Shakespeare Festival. Like talking about tearing down that housing for years. God knows they'll never do it. But once they do it, I'm going to be like, that's so sad. Who's going to like hang out in the, you know, in the sex couch rooms, you know?
Exactly. Like where's Matt Bomer's semen going to go? No, I feel the same way. It's so stupid because like they definitely should update the housing.
Oh, yeah.
But the nostalgist in me is just like, but that's a part of history.
Yeah, totally.
That's a part of that's the charm. That's the character.
I was totally going to do the Disney College program after I graduated college in 2020. But I don't know, something crazy happened in 2020. So I was like, maybe not.
That sucks.
Yeah, but that's okay, though. I mean, everything worked out the way it was supposed to.
I think you can do it without being a college student because I don't think they check.
Yeah, but I'm like 26, you know, 18 to 22 year olds, and then this like old lady.
And like, hey. my roommate that I spoke of when he went back, he did, because we met during the college program. Yeah. And then he went back and did it a second time. When he did it the second time, one of his roommates was like 31.
Hey. I love that.
So, hey. Hey.
Hey. Hey. I don't know. Could we? Did you call it Vista Slay?
No, people used to call it Vista Lay because reportedly it was the easiest place to get laid in the entire country.
Oh my.
There was, I'm so not kidding. Some,
I believe you.
Like Cosmo or something did a survey in like the 90s and it found that Vista Way was like one of the easiest places to get laid in the nation.
Whoa.
But that survey might also just be an old wives' tale, but I choose to believe it because I think that's so funny.
I think it's true.
And they did genuinely have to cement in those hot tubs. So they did it for a reason.
That is so spooky to me. I'm obsessed. God.
I mean, you take a bunch of 18 to 22 year olds who are like on their own for the first time and all have their love of Disney and raging hormones in common.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's bound to happen.
Oh my God. Absolutely. I'm not shaming them at all. Oh my God. That's your minisode, y'all.
That's minisode 111 Angel Numbers.
Angel. Oh my God. Everyone make a wish.
So everyone tune into Child Star. It's going to release on July 19th in 3 weeks. However, minisodes are going to be silly for the next little bit because we already recorded Child Star. That's in the can, even though it's not going to come out for 3 weeks. Yeah. And the episode after that will not come out until August 9th, Rise and Fall of Sue Sylvester. And we're recording that tomorrow because I will have no way to record a podcast while I'm on the ship for the next 6 weeks. So the minisodes are going to go on a bit of a hiatus and then we're going to release a kind of a group minisode when I get back.
Let's make it like 6 hours long.
Yeah. So send in your thoughts on Child Star. When we get to Rise and Fall of Sue Sylvester, send in your thoughts, but there will not be a minisode released between the two episodes. We're going to do another combined one.
Yeah. Woo!
All right. Really fast. Let's bust out a relative pitch game in a record time. So you did the Glax, which means you're up first. And the songs in this episode...
Both episodes.
Are, oh my gosh, both episodes? Girl. In A Wedding, we have At Last by Etta James, Hey Ya by Outkast, I'm So Excited by the Pointer Sisters, and Our Day Will Come by Ruby and the Rockets, The Romantics, pardon me. In Transitioning, we got You Give Love a Bad Name by Bon Jovi, Same Love by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis featuring Mary Lambert, All About That Bass by Meghan Trainor, Somebody Loves You by Betty Who, Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper, I Know Where I've Been for the cast of Hairspray.
I'm first.
Pick a number between 1 and 2, Lena.
2.
That's Transitioning. Okay, so great. On Transitioning, you're gonna do Cyndi Lauper, Time After Time.
Lying in my bed, I hear the clock tick and think of you. Caught up in circles, confusion is nothing new. Flashback, warm nights, almost left behind. A suitcase of memories, time after, sometimes. This song rocks!
Okay, so... That was a lot of D flat and B action. The lying in my bed at night, I sit alone and think of you. Okay, so you're a half step.
Damn, flat. I knew it.
Because you're sick. So naturally,
makes sense. Just a little, I've got the suds.
You got the suds.
I want you to sing Hey Ya.
My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really wanna? But I don't. This is when I realize I've never actually read the lyrics of the song. But does she really wanna? But can't stand to see me walk out that door. Don't try to fight the feeling because the thought alone is killing me right now. Okay, so I'm doing like an F sharp, E to D to C sharp to some other notes situation.
Loves it.
Oh. There you go. That's an E. I'm a full step sharp. Humiliating. But does she really want a bandstand to see me walk out the door?
If you ever go karaokeing with my boyfriend, he has got a whole routine to this song.
Oh, good. That's amazing. Good for him.
It brings good the house him. Down. It's really crazy. It's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Gal, this is goodbye for a long time, listeners. Join our Patreon because we will be having our episode on Teen Beach Movie coming out before the 19th. Mm-hmm. Hopefully. I just said that and then I was like, I don't know if I actually know how to upload stuff from the boat, and that will be a learning curve, but it will probably be out before the 19th.
Yeah.
And see the rest of y'all on the 19th for Child Star.
You're a bad bitch, so you have to upload. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm a bad bitch, so I have to upload. I'm going to get on the boat. I will figure it out. Or otherwise, I wouldn't be a bad bitch.
Yeah. You'll have to have your bad bitch card revoked if you can't upload.
Exactly. And that's like a really lengthy legal process, and I just don't have the time.
I can't even deal. And not even to mention the notary publics, like how many notary publics you have to find and get them to like stamp. My goodness.
It's just, frankly, it's easier to continue being a bad bitch.
I know. So it's like, but then you have to upload so that it's, you know.
Exactly.
This kind of gives me panic attacks sometimes too, where it's like, I have to, but I can't, but I won't. You know what I mean?
It's like the red tape and like all the bureaucracy, but it's like, I have to, like, it doesn't matter that I don't have time. I have to upload or I have to go to the notary public. I don't have time for either, but I have to do one. Love you forever. See you on the 19th.
Yeah. Here's a mini kiss on your mini forehead if you accept it. Oh my God. Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.